Hello, walk stars. So today we are talking about walking to our dreams. And it was, we just kept talking and talking, you and me. We had so much to say.
It was a good conversation. I mean, it always is, but today it felt really
right.
I think
we're both on the precipice of some of our dreams coming true. And that's what we were talking about.
Yeah, we're talking about holding space for our dreams, allowing people to hold space for us, knowing who our dream circle is, our fellow dreamers who can like stand in celebration with us. So I think it's going to be a good one.
I think it is. Hope you enjoyed this episode. And come on over to This Morning Walk on Instagram. Leave us a note. Tell us what you thought of the episode. We'd love to hear from you.
Always love to hear from y'all. Enjoy the episode.
Blind Nil Audio.
I'm Alex L.
I'm Libby Delena. Welcome
to This Morning Walk Podcast.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
How's your throat?
Yuck. You know, kids always bringing home germs and the like, you know?
Yeah, and it's also March. I feel like... Yeah, March is sick town.
It's March. Yeah. It's still cold. I was looking out the window today. It's rainy. And I was saying to Ryan, like, where's the spring go? It came for like 2 days and then decided not ready yet. So
I'm gonna peace out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same here. I feel like this is mud season where I am. Everything's just mud. There's not
muddy.
Snow. Mm-hmm. There's not ice. It's just... sticky and squishy. What tea do you have this morning?
No tea this morning.
Do you have coffee?
No coffee. I have tea earlier. I had chai, okay. Of course.
But
right now I'm just drinking water and some seltzer with vitamins.
I made your chai this morning, which for everybody is this beautiful chai mixture with fresh ginger and then heavy cream and a dollop of honey. So I made that this morning.
How was it?
It's always better when somebody else makes it for you. When you made it, it was like otherworldly. When I made it, it was good. But there is something about having somebody else make it for you that just, I don't know, it's just more delicious.
That's actually really true. When people make a cup of tea or coffee or even a meal, it's just like, oh, that's so nice. That tastes so much better.
Right. I don't know. Do you taste the love or something aside from the ingredients? You taste something else, the affection.
I think you taste not having to have done anything. You know what I mean? Like
you
taste the non-labor.
Yes.
So you just get to reap the benefits
gift.
Of someone loving on you, the gift. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's good. Okay. So I left you a little voice note this morning about what we might consider talking about, which is walking into our dreams. And the reason I was thinking of that on my walk this morning is is it this week or in the next few days we're about to launch?
Tomorrow. My perfume comes out tomorrow, March 28th. My perfume comes out. I cannot wait. It smells so good.
So tell us about, I mean, this is one of your dreams. I feel like when we were visiting, you were saying this is something you've thought about for a while.
So yeah, like, I partnered with an amazing company called Sniff. They're like really cool, vibey fragrance company. And we created a perfume. It's called Heal the Way. It smells very gourmand with pistachio, buttercream, vanilla absolute, Divana essential oil. What else is in there? Palo Santo. Oh, I forgot about the Palo Santo note. Musk. Like it's just, it is the perfect, sexy, creamy, sweet that embodies what my healing journey has been on the other side. The good side of the healing journey.
The sweet side.
The sweet side. And it's been a dream of mine to create a fragrance that I didn't necessarily know was a dream of mine until I started embarking on this journey. So to give everybody a little bit of backstory with perfume and how it played a role in my life, I've always loved fragrance and perfume, always been a vanilla girly. But then after I had my two youngest kids, my scent completely changed. I could not wear perfume. I would get sick. My lungs would hurt. I would get watery eyes. I would get headaches. It was just awful. I don't know what hormonal shift happened during pregnancy, but I had to give away all of my perfumes, and my friends could not wear perfume around me because it would just make me sick. And so I ventured into the world of wearing essential oils that were diluted, and that was my fragrance. And that was fine. And then recently, probably within the past year, I started slowly reincorporating clean perfumes, non-toxic, non-allergen, all that stuff. I didn't even know they made perfume like that, but they do have like a clean perfume industry. And that's how I found Sniff. Sniff was one of the perfumes that I could wear that did not irritate me. And I started being a customer. I loved their Sweet Ash perfume. It smells so damn good. I also love their Crème Couture, which smells like a French bakery croissant. Like, it's unreal. So I emailed them and said, this is so random, but I would love to collaborate with you guys on a perfume. I don't even know if you do this, but I've been a customer for a couple years. Love what you're doing. Love that I can wear your perfumes, because for so long I could not wear perfumes. And they got back to me. So I cold emailed them. They got back to me and said, hell yes, absolutely, in short. And we started developing a perfume together. I went to New York, went to the perfumer, took Charlie with me, which was really fun. We did all the smell tests. We've had over, I think, between 60 or 80 iterations of the perfume. They were able, here's something that was really, really cool. We went to New York to do kind of the final run through, because we had dwindled the formulation down to, I think, four. Mm-hmm. So we went to New York, smelled them in person, and we're at the lab. So I'm thinking, okay, this is cool. They're going to have all the different variations. No, if I said I need a little more vanilla in this, they would call upstairs and say, hey, we need Heal the Way 43 with a little more vanilla. And then they would bring it downstairs to the conference room. It was so awesome.
Yeah.
So fun. Anyhoot. That's kind of the story around how Heal the Way came to be. And it comes out March 28th. It's been a really thrilling dream come true experience, because I bond with my oldest daughter in particular over perfume. My middle child has her own perfume that she uses and we spray on her. And it's like this bonding moment. And it just feels so exciting that I have a fragrance and that people are going to be wearing it.
Oh my gosh, that's so good. Well, walking towards you, I mean, when you said, I just emailed them, I was thinking, oh my gosh, because you and I talk about take the first best step, right? Like, identify your dream. You've had this dream. You wanted a fragrance. It's something that was incredibly dynamic for you and creative and interesting. And I think so many of us get stuck in that sort of first step. What do we even do? How do we even potentially make our dreams come true? So I just think it's what would you say were some of the other steps you took? I mean, walking into your dream is not a one step process. There's several steps along the way. What else do you think you?
You know, to be honest, I had to step out of my own way, because I'm not a cold email girly. Like, I don't just reach out to brands for collaborate. Right. I don't do that. It's not comfortable for me. I'd rather just be a consumer, you know. Right. But with this in particular, I think, and I don't mean to sound too deep, but I think I felt really seen by Sniff. because I could use their product and so many other perfumes I could not use. Yes. And I felt
it was true.
Like, yeah. It felt true to me. It felt like a place that it felt like a brand that I wanted to work with, because I know other mamas have had issues with perfumes during pregnancy. And I'm like, what about all our sensitive scent girlies who are sensitive to perfumes, yes, or moms who've had hormone changes and can't wear their favorite scent anymore? Like, right, what about us? And then I found Sniff and I could wear their clean perfume, their non-toxic perfume, and not be irritated by it. And it just felt like, oh, I want to work with them, because mm-hmm, as a consumer, I feel seen. And yes, I know that I'm not the only one who has issues with scent after birth or scent because of allergy or whatever have you. And right, so I had to get out of my own way and think, maybe just ask. Maybe just.
Yes.
The worst that can happen is that they don't get back to you or they say no.
Right.
And that's okay. Like, that is fine. And I had to kind of rework my brain around rejection in that, because rejection is hard. And if you reach out to somebody and they don't get back to you, or you get a no or not right now, like, that's hard. But I knew that I wanted to at least try. So I did. Another thing that I think I did to kind of step closer towards that dream is, I don't know, I'm big on legacy. Like, books are my legacy.
Right.
This perfume is going to be a part of my legacy. The merch I make is going to be a part of my legacy. I just think in vintage. Does that make sense? And so the Sniff bottle is really special because, yes, it's engraved with my handwriting. Yes. The packaging, yeah, is something you want to keep. It comes folded in a letter, handwritten letter from me that they, right, made in vellum paper that looks like the transparent sticky notes. Like, it's the intention. The books are going to outlive me. The, yes, sweatshirts are going to be hopefully in cool, hip, vintage shops when I'm long, right, gone, and that say, right, healing by example. Like, right, I just think, yeah, in vintage. And I'm like, this is adding to the, right, legacy. And I just want to leave behind good things. I want to leave behind things that make people feel good and smell good, that evoke a feeling of healing and possibility. And so when I think about it that way, I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
It does make sense.
It makes sense that I have a perfume.
It also makes sense to me because I think of you as sort of insatiably curious and creative. Like, I feel like you have a real desire and a skill at creating things, whether it is your merch, whether it is.
It's also even very problematic. Because I just want to make everything.
You and I have certainly talked about a number of things. We'll see what actually pops off. But I would also say that, I keep just thinking about this phrase, walking into our dreams. And I think I can imagine perhaps for you that part of the energy behind your effort or your bravery in reaching out was this sort of opportunity to be creative, the opportunity, yeah, to step into a new space. You know, you're not a perfumer. I just learned recently in the last decade that there was somebody called a nose who actually, yes, understands. It's like a sommelier for scents. We have a lot more to learn about that.
We had the nose in, we had two noses. Well, many of us have noses, but right, we had the two perfumers who were like leading our smell session. I guess they're considered the noses, and they were French. This one amazing, like, sultry French woman, and this other African French woman. And then they're like speaking in French about the perfume, but then like coming back to us and speaking in English. And I'm like, this is a movie.
This is a set, right? Where's the camera?
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah. So I can imagine that potentially, you know, I'm reflecting on myself, and I'll share with you in a minute the dream piece for me. But I think when Here's what I recognize in you is this insatiable curiosity around creativity and making things and building things and learning about new ecosystems. So I can imagine, you know, if one of our listeners is like, well, I'm too scared to write an email, which I totally understand. I think you
she
and I
understands.
Probably-
And we'll talk about this in a second.
Hey, Walk Stars, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hey, Walk Stars, I want to turn you on to one of my favorite podcasts in the entire world. It's the 10% Happier podcast, and it has one guiding philosophy. Happiness is a skill you can learn, and I truly believe this. So why not master it? Hosted by Dan Harris, a journalist who had a panic attack on national television and then set out on a journey of transformation. He's now on a quest to help others achieve peace and happiness. Every week, Dan talks to top scientists, meditation teachers, and even the odd celebrity in wide-ranging conversations that explore topics like productivity, anxiety, enlightenment, psychedelics, and relationships. The interviews cover everyone from Brené Brown to Alexander Draiman to Sam Harris. So, Walkstars, as you know, this podcast is much more than just about walking. It's the same for 10% Happier. Think of listening to 10% Happier as a workout for your mind. Find 10% Happier wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Torre. Every week on my podcast, Torre Show, I interview amazing people like Andre 3000, Jada Pinkett Smith, Brescia Webb, Charles Blow, and all sorts of people about what fueled their rise to success and the ways in which being Black shows up in their work. If you want some inspiration to help achieve your dreams, listen to Torre Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to this Morning Walk podcast. Okay, settle down, everybody. Everybody just settle down. You're correct, and I'm open to it, but correct. But what I was going to say is, I think some, look at, do you see me blushing?
I do. And I can't wait for you to share your excited dream come true news. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry to cut you off.
No. I think for me, I'll reflect on myself, that when it is around creativity and creating something, that creates an undeniable sense of energy, a sense of excitement, a sense of possibility. And there's something about excitement and enthusiasm that for me is kind of intoxicating. It kind of makes me believe anything's possible, right? Mm-hmm. So as soon as I get excited by something, the energy that comes with that excitement, I try and really capture. So if I get excited about something, I'm like, don't wait 2 weeks to get started. Actually begin now. And it doesn't have to be the entire project. It just gets started, whether it's write down the idea, whether it's say it out loud to somebody, whether it's there are ways to harness that energy. And I think that excitement and enthusiasm, and I'm thinking about you, that when you started to think about the opportunity to build a fragrance, there was this creative enthusiasm that, you know, honestly makes me believe I can do anything, enthusiasm. So it's sort of the harness that as soon as you can, in any way that you can. And I think that's the first beautiful step towards getting to a dream is, A, identifying it, then building a little sense of energy around it, and then harnessing in that. Does that sound fair?
Yeah. And thank you for saying that, because I definitely feel enthused by this project in a way that I haven't felt enthused in a very long time. And I am a creative person. I love making things. I mean, it's just a part of my being, but I'm learning that I also, we can talk about this too. I have to monetize everything that I make. Right. So right. Like, I love painting. I'm not going to be selling my paintings. I love photography. I'm probably never going to sell my photos. I love making That's tea. Right. I might sell tea eventually, but not right now. So, you know, it's just like,
yes,
it's okay to just have a spirit of play and curiosity. Right. I used to feel really excited about writing, but I don't anymore. And that's because mm-hmm. I write for a living. It's my right. job to write books. It's my job to write for other people. And I have had a hard time walking my way back to the excitement of being a mm-hmm. writer, because it's so closely tied to my livelihood, my job. And so I want to switch gears a bit here and talk with you about your exciting dream work that you are bringing to the world and what that looked like for you, because it is writing and you are excited about writing and you are excited about, you know, being creative on the page. And I'm curious just to see how that came up for you.
Yeah. So walking towards our dreams first, I'll just start with, I grew up with my dad. One of the phrases he used to say to me all the time was dream bigger. When I would tell him about something I would want to do, he would say that, I mean, he would acknowledge it. I always felt very seen by him, and he would always sort of say to me, dream bigger. You can dream bigger. You can dream smaller. You can dream left. You can dream right. But I always sort of felt this sort of support around this sort of ceilingless opportunity to think about how we thought about our dreams. And so I think about sort of the DNA in me of someone who was always incredibly supportive in terms of, I remember saying to him one time, I wanted to be a bush pilot. He was like, great. Let's figure that out. I didn't go on to do that. So I feel like I carry with me this phrase, dream bigger, which it was tucked in my back pocket from my dad. But I would say in the last few years, I have thought, boy, I would like to write a more complete book about this morning walk. Certainly shared it with you that. And it comes with the notion of writing, comes for me with a lot of voices in my head. As someone who spent her career in advertising as an art director, partnered with incredible writers, just that craft of writing was something I just admired. But it was a separate craft from the one that I felt really was where my skill set was. So admired it and never considered myself a writer, in part because that was how I was partnered in my career. So recently thought, oh, you know what, I'd like to write more deeply about this practice of this morning walk, and spent about 6 months putting together a proposal. And it was only 6 months. It doesn't have to take anybody else 6 months. That was my process, simply because I didn't know what I was doing or how it needed to go. And I think it can go any way anyone decides it should go. But and so put that together recently, Ash, and talked to you about it. And I would say in my conversations with you, I think I have gently put down this sort of narrative in my head that I'm not a writer. Mm-hmm. I think you once said to me, well, just start writing and then you're a writer. So, something in that, you said it much more elegantly, but it was in that phase. So put together a book proposal, and you shared with me a beautiful connection. And so we'll see what happens. But I would say for me, it is a dream. And I'm trying to think of how to articulate how I walked through this process, because would love it to be helpful to anybody who's listening. And I think it's identifying what the dream is. For me, it was saying it out loud to mm-hmm. anybody that I came into contact with, who, and then those individuals would often say, try this. Have you thought about this? Here's a way to organize that. Have you seen this person's book proposal online? Check that out. Mm-hmm. So say it out loud. And then enrolling friends in the process with you. And, you know, that's certainly what I did with you, but was, I don't really think of it as asking for help necessarily, although it was, but it was enrolling friends in the, on the pathway of creating this dream. And I think when friends ask me to be involved in that process, it's a really joyous process. I mean, imagine helping somebody bring their dream to life. Mm-hmm. So I think enrolling friends along the way is a really essential step. And then at some point there comes the sort of the first magical step, which for you was writing that email to Sniff. For me, it was starting to actually sit down and open a Word doc and start writing. And takes effort. So it's identifying the dream, saying it out loud, enrolling friends. And then I think the way I would articulate it is it's effort again towards it. And I also think that often the dreams that our dreams might shape shift a little bit along the way. What we think we want to have happen may shift 6 months later or whenever it begins to take shape. So I think that's, yeah, it's an exciting process. I have to say I'm very proud of myself and I'm really grateful to you for your support and we'll see where it goes, but that's where we are.
Well, I think that's really amazing. And I mean, you got excitement from the email that you sent. You got a yes, let's do this. And so I don't want you to play that small because that's huge. Like you were not sure if you wanted to send that email, you sent it and you got a very excited, yes, thrilled, honored. And that is really beautiful. Like, I also think it's important that we are sharing our good news with people who can celebrate us. We're sharing our dreams with friends who actually have the capacity to be in joy with us about those dreams. Yes. And so that's what I would plug there. Like, don't play the small wins like they don't matter because they do. And make sure that you are dream sharing with people who have the capacity to hold your joy. Because I think that's major too. Like there's some people in my life who I know that I can call with good news, that I can text, hey, I got some good news. Do you have space for me to share? And they'll be like, absolutely, share. And then I also know that I have people in my life who mean well and who are great people, but I cannot share my good news with them.
Yes.
They don't have the space. I think that, and I think that's important too, just for, to include in this narrative, especially about dreams, because dreams are so sacred and they're so special and they deserve to be nurtured with joy and care. And sometimes our dreams can be shattered when people don't react in a way that we need them to, or the, or if people don't have the capacity to react in the way that we, you know, want them to. And so I think navigating that space is big as well.
No, I think that's so critical. I will say I shared it with somebody and to your point, the response felt lukewarm and maybe
I need somebody like, yes, yes,
right.
Girl, yes. This is amazing. Yes. Yes.
All I don't the need exclamation any, points.
All the exclamation, don't give me no lukewarm.
No.
Don't respond.
No.
Before
no
you give me
up.
A lukewarm,
don't respond.
Respond.
Right. Right. All the exclamation points. I need a voice memo that's you basically singing.
Screaming.
Screaming. But how do you know who's available? How do you identify that? I wouldn't have guessed that this person would, you know. So it's not critical. It's just, I don't think I did a good job of identifying the space. How do you know who to tell? I mean, in some cases you do have to be careful. You have to be attentive. That's a better word. Careful.
So you were saying, like, if you don't tell the person the next time, like,
how
do
you,
how do you reckon with them maybe feeling left out? Well, girl, you shouldn't have been lukewarm.
Okay.
And I know that may not sound like, I don't know. You were lukewarm. I'm not going to share my good news to get lukewarm. I'm not.
Right.
And so maybe that is like when they have I have had things happen similar, and then somebody will see something online or they'll hear something from a friend. And if they have the capacity, they'll reach out and say, hey, I heard this. I heard that blah, blah, blah happened. So happy for you. Mm-hmm. Like, I was so excited to hear that. But really, to be honest with you, if people are lukewarm, they probably gonna stay lukewarm. I don't know. I just feel like sometimes people can't meet us in our joy because they're not in theirs. And that is not a bad thing.
Nope.
It is a human thing. But all I know is, in this season of my life, I need good news girlies giving me claps and exclamation points. I want my good news girlies to be able to come to me and hear me in a voice note screaming how excited I am. And like, mean it though. Like, there's no performative,
right?
I'm happy for you. Like, I am legit happy for you. And I think that that can be hard, especially depending on what phase of life somebody is in. Maybe, you know, they can't be happy that you're pregnant. They can't be happy that you bought a house. They can't be happy that your life isn't chaotic right now and y'all don't have misery to bond over anymore, because then, you know, like, that's a real thing. Like, people have a hard time with joy when their life isn't where they want it to be. And I think the beauty, the compassion, the beauty of compassion in this is not to personalize it.
That's right.
You just go to people who you can share your good news to, that you know are going to be in that joy with you.
Yeah, and I think that's the bottom line. Is we all know who can be in the joy with us, and we know what season they may be in. If they're dear friends or good friends, mm-hmm. we know mm-hmm. potentially where they are, and So I think in terms of answering my own question, I think it's attentiveness and mindfulness on our own lives to recognize where our dear people are in their lives and know who can potentially show up.
Or even not dear people.
Not dear people. Right. Yeah,
because
right.
Some of us are like longing for our parents to validate our experience and celebrate our experience, and they will never.
They will never.
From experience. And so it's just like, or they don't know how, you know? And I just think that sometimes we gonna have to be our own hype girls until we find our crew of hype girls, you know? Hype girls mm-hmm. and guys. Ryan is my biggest hype guy. Like, he reminds me to celebrate myself when big things happen or small things happen, because I'll be like, okay, great, on to the next. And he's like, wait a second. Uh-uh. Like... Mm-hmm. This is not small. This is a big thing. Mm-hmm. Or he'll be like, that's so good. Like, for example, I'm changing gears a little bit. I have lost 14 pounds and I'm 2 jean sizes down. And my continuous glucose monitor has helped me reach that goal, along with my dedication to getting on the Peloton 3 to 4 times a week, doing my daily walks. And I shared with Ryan the other day, I said, babe, I'm 14 pounds down. I did that by myself. And he was like, babe, that's so, like, he just gave me what I needed to hear. Cause at first I was like, oh, and then I said, well, is that enough? Like, I've had this glucose monitor helping me like make mindful choices and things since the middle of January. He said, yes, that is great. So in my moment of like, I was excited to hear that, and my clothes are fitting different and my face is slimming out and I'm feeling strong in my body, I had a moment of doubt, like, well, that's not good enough. And he was like, Mm-mm. We will not do that. That is great. Keep going. You are almost to your goal. You are looking great. You are feeling strong. Like, he just reminded me of why I'm doing this. Like, after having babies back to back, who are no longer babies, mind you, 1 is 6 and 1 is 4. I just am finally feeling like, oh, I have reclaimed my body. I feel like such a strong, mindful, powerful woman. Anyways, he was like,
okay, so here's your screaming voice memo for that.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! I'm not emotionally eating anymore. I have a healthier relationship with food. I'm getting my protein in. Like, I'm just like, I have done a complete 360 from the past year. And who else did I share that with? I shared that with Birch because she's like my other, she's my other girly who I can like celebrate with. And she hyped me up. She was like, that's such an inspiration to me. You have hyped me up. I'm going to the gym tomorrow. Like, it's just, so, like, we were it's just so having great. Like, it's just so good.
It's and so good.
We need people in our lives who can hold us like that. Like,
yes.
With our weight loss, with our strength training, with our motherhood, with our partnership, with our choice to be single, with our home buying, with our businesses. Like, we need people who can hold us and love on us and celebrate us through our highs and through our lows. When we are having lows, we need people who are going to be able to be like, girl, you're having a low day. I feel you. I love you. And I'm going to hold you through it. But don't forget where you came from. Don't forget that you achieved that thing before. Don't forget that you it's not always going to be like this. If we don't have people in our lives pouring into us like that, we need to rethink our community.
100%. There's dream walkers.
And rant.
It's like class. I mean, it's like fantastic.
It's lecture season. Okay.
It's lecture season. Well, no, those are our dream walkers. I mean, back to our conversation about walking to our dreams. Those are the people. Those are the people that help us get to those dreams. And of course, those dreams, the pathway is complicated. There's uphills, there's downhills, it's mud season, there's hairpin turns. We all need each other in order to get to those places. And I think what we're saying is identify those people who not only cheer you on, but are the people who walk next to you all the way to the dreams.
And who don't leave you, who don't leave you when you get lost. And who don't leave you when you succeed. You know, I feel like a lot of us have had people in our lives who, if we're at our lowest, they're right there with us, wanting us to stay low, though. And then when we get out of that lowness and we start, you know, we're climbing, we're ascending, they're like, oh, I don't have time for that. Oh, so we have to like really look at who is in our circle. Who is walking with us? Who are dream blockers and who are dream helpers?
Walkers. Like,
who are dream walkers? And I just think that that's important that we have people who are going to be steady on this path with us and not lukewarm
and who don't see, who see any effort that we put towards our dreams as just absolutely important components and that we would do the same for them. I think to your point, I think what can happen is if somebody's in a season that feels chaotic or confusing, be careful of how their response may be reflective of where they are, not their lack of joy for you. There's just maybe not an energy component that, I don't know, that they can get to. That's what I feel like about my situation. I felt like, oh, this person I shared it with just isn't in a place where there was energy enough to share that joy with me. And it felt as if she was inadequate for some reason. In her own approach, perhaps. I mean, I don't know the answer, but I think the headline is, as you point out, identify the people that can be exquisitely joyous in those moments with you. And the other thing is, it doesn't have to be a lot of people.
It literally doesn't. I have like three.
Three. Right. And so it's not about the number of people or expecting everybody to. It is those people who can walk with you right up to the precipice of that dream and enjoy that moment with you. But it's a delicate scenario. Delicate.
On either side. Delicate. Like it can be hit or miss, as we know. And I think that's where grace comes in. That's where compassion comes in. But that's also where clarity comes in. And I think that we are all learning where to invest our time and energy and dreams, who to share with and who to maybe withhold from. because, as I mentioned earlier, dreams are sacred. Dreams are, they're really, really delicate. I'm going to give you an example. Like, I'm going to use nature because we always bring in nature. So we have a landscaper who comes and keeps our front together. And winter, fall, who knows? I'm not a gardener. Came and planted tulips. Okay, tulip bulbs. And they
a lot of them, 100 of them.
50.
50. Beautiful.
50, which is like, I mean, it looks like it's 100 out there. It's right. Amazing. And they're red and they're so gorgeous. And he came and he planted them, and the squirrels have been trying to get the bulbs, and I have been so pissed at those squirrels. That's a whole nother story. Most of them came up. It's wonderful. I asked him, hey, the tulips have started emerging, but there's some weeds and stuff that we need. Like, we need new mulching. We need to put our new hydrangea bushes in. Like, I'm asking him, when can he come? And he said to me, we need to wait a little bit because tulips are very delicate. And if we come through and disrupt the ecosystem, they will perish. And I thought, wow, what a life lesson there is in remulching when it's time, and being careful,
honoring the
delicate,
tulip,
honoring tulip's the time. Delicate. And this popped up because I feel like dreams are delicate. Yes. Dreams are delicate. And as they emerge and come to the surface, we need to be very careful what we are doing in the midst and around the dreams, who we are inviting in to remulch, who we are inviting in to water weed. Them, to weed.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we about to take y'all to church, okay? Like, we just have to be very careful.
Careful, yes.
Because dreams are delicate, just like my tulips out front. He said, I can't come yet. I don't want to kill your tulips. So I actually think I hold a lot of space for people who can say, I can't meet you there right now. This is hard for me. Your dreams are delicate. I can't meet you there right now. And I have had people say, girl, I wish I can't be with you in this moment. Mm-hmm. And like that
is so
that
beautiful.
Is so beautiful. And also,
so beautiful.
I want us to start remembering that it's in those honest moments that we really build bonds and connection.
That's so loving.
It's really loving versus someone like being lukewarm, or versus someone ghosting us, or versus someone not responding. How about you say, I don't have the capacity for this.
To hold space for your dreams, which are sacred and beautiful, and I love you.
And worthy. And worthy.
And I can't meet you in that space now, but I love you.
You teach this in school, Libby. Why don't they teach us this in school?
I don't know.
Effective, healthy communication, honest communication.
Don't know. I'm learning it from you. Listen, right now.
I'm learning it from my tulips out front. My landscaper.
I know. What's his name?
Miss Spearman. We can't come yet.
What's his name? We're going to name it the Peak Protocol or something. What's his name?
What is his name? I think his name's Walber. And he's such a sweet guy.
Okay. It's the Walber Protocol. It's basically hold your dreams sake. Yeah.
Yep.
Mr. Walber. We're going to.
Mr. Walber.
Yep. Hold your dreams sacred. And because they are so tender and sacred, be careful where you plant them. Be careful where you put them.
Be careful where you step.
Right.
Be careful where you step.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Amen.
Amen. I say, woo! May it be so.
May it be so.
May it be so. Ashe, ashe. Yes.
Thank you for this conversation. I love you.
Thank you. I love you too. This was real good.
Really good. And congratulations on the your launch tomorrow.
Thank you. I can't wait. I can't wait
either.
Yeah, it's going to be good. We'll put the link to buy Heal the Way in the description. Yes.
Yeah, I can't
wait.
All right. I love you. Cheerio.
Love you too. Bye.
Bye.
This Morning Walk is a production of Blind Nil Audio, hosted by me, Alex L.
And me, Libby Delena, produced and edited by Chris Jacobs.
If you find value and meaning in the conversations that Libby and I have, please share the show with a friend and consider leaving a 5-star review. Comments on Apple Podcasts really help us out. When you do that, it introduces this show to a bigger audience. Thank you so much for listening.
You are wonderful. Have a great walk.
The views, information, or opinions expressed in the series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of Chip and Joanna Gaines, Blind Nil Audio, nor Magnolia.